Amen. We are going to be going to the book of John. And the title of the message today is, spoiler alert, eternity begins now. Tell someone you're sitting with, spoiler alert, eternity begins now. A spoiler alert is when you're watching a movie or you're watching a TV program and they give you little clues throughout the program or throughout the movie about what's actually going to be happening at the end. And so by the time you get to the end, you might be one of those people who's like, oh yeah, I saw that happening. You know, that guy did this, did that, I saw that. Or you might be one of those people who has to get someone to explain it to you. There's those two kind of people. Or you might be the spoiler. I've done that before. So we watched this program with my sister where every week somebody gets fired. And one time I forgot to catch up with her whether she'd watched it. So I came very excited. Oh, do you know who got fired? Da, 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 da. And I spoilt it for her. So spoiler alert is when we have that idea that something's going to happen. In the book of John, which is one of the Gospels, as I was reading through it, I found many areas where I would say they were spoiler alerts. Because as you read it, if you actually read carefully, you realize, oh, you're telling me about something that's going to happen a little bit further down. Now, John wrote from the angle of looking at Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew writes from a different perspective. He looks at the kingship of Jesus. We have Mark and Luke, and they're looking more towards the servanthood of Jesus, the miracles that he performed. But John wants us to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so from the very beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1 reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Say, the Word was God. I'll make sure we don't fall asleep today. We're going together. Is that okay? All right. The Word was God. And when we keep reading, we find that in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. As we keep reading, we find out that the Word, which is God, became flesh and dwelt among men. And we know that the Word, which is God, that dwelt among men, is Jesus. So Jesus is God in the flesh who dwelt among us. That's the first spoiler alert. That is John telling us, hey, this man that you're going to read about is no ordinary man. Something is unique, something is special about him. And as we continue reading, it's like John is saying, look what he does. And if you see what Jesus does here, you can be expectant that he's going to do that further down. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus meet an official son, an official whose son is unwell. It says a noble man, so that could have been what we would liken to a mayor or the member of parliament or a CEO of some sort. This man had a son who was ill. And so guess what Jesus does? He heals him. When Jesus heals him in verse 4, that gives us an expectation. Then when we find a man who's by the pool of Bethsaida or Bethesda who is sick, Jesus is going to? Okay, there we go. So if we see Jesus do something in one part, we know that he's going to do something very similar or exactly the same. He's not going to be perturbed by what he sees. So let us go to John chapter 2. Don't go there. Just go with me in terms of the story. In John chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding. Awesome wedding. Beautiful wedding. They're enjoying their wine. They're enjoying the party. The wine runs out. Jesus turns the water into wine. So when we meet him a little bit further down in John chapter 6, when there are 5,000 people, this time it's not wine. This time they don't have food. They've been there for such a long time. They've eaten the sandwiches and the crisps that they had. They have nothing. And Jesus is there. He is going to provide food for them, right? because that's what he does. John gives us these spoiler alerts that, hey, this is a plot development. Something is going to happen based on what Jesus did before. So he heals the sick. So anytime that we see someone who is sick, if you're reading the Bible and you see someone who is sick, you can almost know that he's going to heal him. You might not know how. You wouldn't know whether he's going to spit on his hands this time, or he's going to say, be healed, or he's going to say, come out, be healed. But somehow, Jesus is going to heal. In the story where Jesus feeds the 5,000, and by the way, I call them stories, but we know these are life testimonies, right? This is John saying, I wrote this thing so that you can know, you who is reading the Bible today, 2,000 years later, I want you to know that I witnessed with my own two eyes this man named Jesus walking on this ground that we're walking today, and that he did exactly what is written here. So Jesus feeds the 5,000. We know it was most likely more than 5,000 because they say 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So then when we continue with the story to John chapter 11, which is where we're really going to settle in today, we find a sick man. Somebody say, oh, it's a sick man. But Jesus is there. Somebody say, yay. Because if Jesus is there, surely he is going to heal the sick. Let's read together. John chapter 11. I'm going to read the first four verses. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. But when Jesus heard, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Based on the previous miracles we have seen from chapter 1 of John to chapter 10, we are expecting that Jesus is going to heal Lazarus. Mary and Martha are expecting the same. They're expecting that Jesus, whom they love, and Jesus who loves them, is going to drop what he's doing and come and heal their friend. If he doesn't do that, if he doesn't even stop what he's doing, he could do like what he did with the centurion, because he said, go, your faith has made you well. He has the power and the ability to cast out sickness and disease. Amen. And I want you to be encouraged if you're here today, because the same Jesus that we're reading about is the same Jesus we worship, who is here today by his Spirit. And so sickness and disease in the name of Jesus has to leave, because the Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen. Jesus said the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. In John chapter 1, we were introduced to Jesus, the Son of God. So when Jesus reveals his sonship by saying the Son of God will be glorified, it's telling us that whatever's about to happen in the life of Lazarus, whatever we're about to read about now, is based around his sonship. He is God in the flesh. He is the Son of God. And because he's the Son of God, something about this situation is going to change. Amen? Because you believe in Jesus, the Son of God, something in your life has to change. Amen. So we read on. For the glory of God, that the Son of God would be revealed. Another thing about the Son of God, if you remember when Jesus was taken to the wilderness, do you remember what the devil tempted him by saying? If you are the Son of God. And two of the three things the devil asked Jesus to do, turn this stone into bread. Do you know why he might have been doing that, among other reasons? I think it's because, as Pastor Claudette was teaching a few weeks ago, the devil knew Jesus, the Son of God, is also the bread of life. And so he can turn a stone into bread, because if you are what you are, you produce. Amen. That's how he was able to feed 5,000. It was not that he looked for bread to feed them. It was that he was bread, and out of him he could produce the provision needed. So now the devil is like, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. But Jesus is like, I don't have to prove anything to you, devil. That's basically what he was trying to say. Then the devil says, if you are the Son of God, jump off a certain high place. Why? Because if a human being jumps off a high place, he would die. But if you are Jesus, the Son of God, you should not and cannot die. So he was actually exposing the divinity of God in disguise. Let us read. In chapter 11 of John, verse 17, Jesus decides to now go to where Lazarus is. Now, when Jesus came to the home of Martha and Mary, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. He had been dead 4 days. When Sam was singing today, we were singing a song, "Even When I Don't See It, He's Working." And I remember that part because Lazarus was in the tomb day one. Lord Jesus, I don't see you. Where are you? What's going on? Day two, you healed the sick all across Bethany and all across Jerusalem. Where are you? Day three, which is probably why by day four, when Mary and Martha see Jesus, they're thinking to themselves, Jesus, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Does anybody have that situation in their life where you think, I don't want to say it, but Jesus, were you here? Yeah, we're not going to say if you were here. If were you here? Because this situation happened. Were you here? Were you in my life when I faced the things that I faced? Were you here in my childhood? Were you here when it was so rough? Were you here when I was experiencing death, hell, and the grave? Jesus, Son of God, were you here? But even when we don't see him, he is working. So Martha, verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. It's an interesting one because Martha says that. But when Jesus goes to say, move, the roll away the stone and open the tomb, Martha's like, but he's been dead 4 days. It's like when we pray on Sunday and then Jesus asks us to make some faith steps on Monday, but we're like, we're not in church anymore. Like, what, Jesus, what are you saying? Martha speaks. And Jesus says in verse 23, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Somebody say, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you remember when he last said that? When he was feeding the 5,000, he said, I am the bread of life. Now he's saying, don't worry that you're seeing death before you. I am the one who causes that which is dead to come to life. And more than that, I am life. I'm not going to go and find some way of bringing your brother back to life. I am life. Life is standing before you. I don't even have to wait until a certain day. Martha had the faith that Jesus would and could raise his brother on that last day. But Jesus is saying, you don't have to wait for a specific day anymore. You don't have to wait for Sunday anymore to receive your miracle. Amen? Today is Sunday. You don't have to wait another 7 days before you receive a miracle or before you get a top up in your faith. Jesus Christ is in you and I. If you have asked him into your life, if you have believed that he is the Son of God, you are with him here and you are going to be living with him here when church finishes. Amen? And so he says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Don't look to a day. Don't limit me to a specific situation. Don't wait until all the trees are lined up properly, or don't wait until everything is making sense. Reach out to me now, and I will make the situation make sense. That one is for someone here. Don't wait and try and make the situation better, or try and meet your goal, your way, and then you'll invite Jesus when things are supposedly perfect. He is the one who makes things right. Amen? He is the one who restores life where there was death. And so he can make it right for us even today. Amen. And Jesus continues and says, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, your brother, who died believing in me." How do we know Lazarus believed? Because Mary and Martha believed. In that kind of context, we're being told these people believed. They were very much believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. "He is dead, but don't worry." And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Mary and Martha had believed, hallelujah. Mary and Martha had believed that if Jesus was there, death could not be there. Now death had come. But now Jesus is saying, "Don't worry, I am bigger than death." We're not even on the same page in terms of equality. Amen. There is no limitation, because I am the I am. Why is he not limited to a day? Because he is the creator of a day. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he separated the day and the night. He created the day and the night. We don't have to wait for a certain time. If he is here, we are in eternity. If he is here and we are in him, we are in eternity. We are not limited by time, which is why the Bible says that we do not weep or mourn as those who mourn as believers when we lose our loved ones, because we know that they might be physically separated from us. We call it death in this world, but they are not dead. We shall see them because they live on. Amen. So they are expecting a miracle, because Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus, the creator of time, Jesus, the ancient of days, Jesus, the rock of ages. His name reveals something to us. His name is the next spoiler alert. The first spoiler alert was what he did. The history that you have with God is the spoiler alert for the situation you're facing now. When you face anything, you're like, "Hang on, what did I experience before with the Lord? Because if he got me there and he hasn't changed, then he's going to get me through this." That's history. His name reveals who he is and what he's going to do. So when we said right at the start, he is the Son of God, so we know something's going to happen here. He is the resurrection and the life. We know something is going to happen here. Let's read what does happen. Verse 43. John 11, 43. "Now, when Jesus had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" When Jesus had said these things, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." I'm going to read it in a different version. "Lazarus, come out." Because Lazarus is in a tomb, remember? He's wrapped up, put inside a tomb, and the tomb is closed. Jesus has asked them, "Remove the tomb door, the stone." And then he speaks life. When Jesus, the Son of God, speaks, the Spirit of God is released in his word. That's why the disciples said he had the word of life. So when Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth," It is not a request. It is not a suggestion. It is a command that death has to obey and let go. Amen. It is a command like he did in the beginning. In the beginning, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image. It was not just a opinion, it was a conversation. Then they made man, they breathed into him, and the man became a living being. And then they told man, go into all the world, have dominion. When God speaks, it is not suggestive, it is a command. He empowers that which he has spoken for us to do. So when Lazarus is spoken to, though he is dead, tell somebody, even death listens to Jesus. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Can the dead hear? Technically not. Lazarus is dead. But when Jesus says, Lazarus, come out, Lazarus, who was dead, comes to life and comes out of the tomb. Give the Lord a praise for that. Because when Jesus speaks, life happens. We're giving him a praise because in a little while we are going to speak into the Lazarus in our lives and speak life. As I was reading this and as I was preparing, I started thinking, what areas could be Lazarus? Do you know sometimes John 10:10 says the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? And I think in my mind, it means if the devil has stolen it, then I'm going to have to run and find the devil and take back what he stole from me. That's how I do spiritual warfare sometimes. It's good, but the next verse after what the devil does is, Jesus came that I may have life and life more abundantly. So I don't need to chase the devil. I need to declare life like Jesus did because Jesus is in me. Amen. Let's speak about how he comes into us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, do you hear that word again? Son. So whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We are born again. We become new. We receive Jesus in us when we say, when we believe Jesus, you are the Son of God. From that moment on, when we believe and we confess, Jesus lives in our hearts. And then you and I have the power of life and death in our tongue. Amen. And because of that, we will be speaking to Lazarus. Because the devil steals in terms of health. The devil kills in terms of health. Chronic disease. The devil is a liar. Jesus is speaking life in the name of Jesus. Jesus is speaking life and we declare it in the name of Jesus. Financial hardships, chronic financial hardships, the devil is a liar. Yes, we steward what we have, but we give no room to the devil. Amen. And so we are going to speak life over that. Marriages that have been destroyed, or that the enemy is trying to destroy, we speak life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. We should be having the best life ever. We should be reading the magazines and thinking to ourselves, they don't know what they're talking about. They need to come and see church. Amen. Because Jesus lives inside of us. So Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And further down, he says, unbind him and let him go. We are going to go into a time where we're going to speak to Lazarus the things in our lives that are dead. Does anybody want to see life in some things? Does anybody feel like they are living life and life to the full, or there's room for more Jesus life in them? There's room for more? Amen.